Good morning. My name is Joanna, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Centaurus Energy second quarter earnings conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press star, then the number 2. Thank you. Mr. Cowell, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for Centaurus Energy's 2020 second quarter earnings conference call. First and foremost, regarding COVID-19, we continue to hope and to pray that all of the company's stakeholders and their loved ones are healthy and safe and continue to be so. Since we last addressed the public, a lot has happened in the world generally, in oil markets, and in Argentina. I'd like to review a number of developments that relate to Centaurus. As everyone is aware, the COVID-19 virus has been recognized as being fought and seemingly is going to be a factor in personal and in professional life for some time. Also, everyone is hopeful that we've seen the worst of its effects from a health perspective and from an economic perspective. Thankfully, to date, Centaurus's direct workforce and indirect workforce have not experienced any infections, and the company continues to adhere to federal safety requirements and provincial safety requirements. We have yet to witness decisively whether certain aspects of daily life will ever return. For instance, with respect to travel, will mass transportation such as air travel and mass commuting on rails and buses recover, or will the personal automobile become even more dominant in everyday lives worldwide? And what will that mean for gasoline and oil consumption? We are closely watching worldwide COVID activity and related economic developments, especially as they relate to oil and gas use and consumption. With respect to oil markets, except for a very recent dip and recovery in prices, oil prices have been stable and steadily rising since the lows of the late spring. OPEC Plus has been operating relatively cohesively in recent months on production and supply strategy and on implementation of worldwide energy policy. That teamwork is amazing in the relative history of OPEC, and it says even more in the current divisive political and policy environment being witnessed in governing bodies worldwide. In light of recent and current oil prices, E&P companies around the world, and specifically in the U.S., the top oil-producing country in the world, have come under major pressure. We've witnessed numerous restructurings and bankruptcies in U.S. bankruptcy courts, resulting from and in a drop in output that will likely lead to permanent reductions in oil and gas for a period of time to come. In the past few months, there have been numerous important developments in Argentina generally and in the oil and gas sector in the country specifically. In August, after months-long negotiations, Argentina and its bondholders reached a historic debt restructuring, which rescued the country from default. The bondholder restructuring now allows Argentina to negotiate with the International Monetary Fund on the IMF's existing loans to the country. The success with bondholders is no panacea, but it certainly puts the country on better footing to move forward. Argentinian leaders have publicly targeted March 2021 for a revised agreement with the IMF, but it is certainly possible that the parties will achieve an agreement prior to that date, since they already began talks last month in September. In relation to COVID, the country of Argentina has had exceptional statistics of health and mortality, both relative to other South American countries and worldwide. The success in combating COVID in Argentina has come largely as a result of strong quarantine controls, which have also had an effect on the economic environment. One of the negative effects of Argentina's COVID precautions that relates directly to Centaurus is lower demand for gasoline and oil. Initially in the spring, the pullback in consumption resulted in the dramatic building of oil inventories and refiners reducing their bidding price for oil. Since late spring, refiner inventories have been reduced and refiner demand has rebounded. It's important to note that at no point did Centaurus shut in any production, and the company has been able to sell all of its production, including using the spot market strategically for better payment terms and pricing. In contrast to the drop in domestic demand, and a positive effect from the low domestic demand for oil has been the growing volume of oil exports from Argentina. This is a very good exercise for an industry that will eventually rely on increasing exports for industry growth. Furthermore, gasoline prices at the pump have been on the rise, serving as an additional bulwark for oil prices. The Argentina government is about to announce a new incentive plan for natural gas production, locally referred to as Gas Plan 4. The plan is in reaction to a projected natural gas shortage coming as early as next winter due to the lack of investment in recent years in natural gas exploration and production. The Gas Plan 4 effort is just another sign of how important the energy industry is for Argentina and how the federal government, within its limited means, is willing to help. With regard to broader industry legislation, after the bondholder settlement, the government is back at work on the expected federal energy law. Although progress is being made, we don't expect any large announcements before the Argentine economy substantially reopens. Finally, earlier in the year, and even during the COVID pandemic, numerous Argentine-focused energy executives expressed very positive outlooks on the country and the Vaca Muerta shale formation, including executives from Shell, Exxon, and Equinor, to name a few. Centaurus's leadership is unwavering in its commitment to realize the value of the company's extraordinary resources. Leadership of the company, with its outsized investment in the company's equity, is aligned with the interests of shareholders generally. Furthermore, in the recent difficult environment and since the conclusion of the second quarter, the leadership of the company has been focused on returning to profitability, assuring liquidity and capital necessary to develop the company's holdings and to realize value for shareholders. Our goals are concrete and our efforts are proceeding well. Now, I'd like to turn to our second quarter financial results. As expected in the corner, our progress on profitability, which was proceeding prior to the second quarter, was absolutely hampered by the collapse in the price of oil. Year over year, the price of oil was down more than 50% and almost 40% quarter over quarter. Conversely, our production rose by almost 10% year over year, and our production has continued to rise since the conclusion of the second quarter from additional production coming from Corán Amargo Sureste, our development in conjunction with Pan American Energy. The low price environment has caused us to redouble our efforts to rationalize our cost structure. Our general and administrative expenditures are down 30% year over year, and our operating expenses have also been reduced by approximately 10%. We expect that although we will be operating in a relatively lower price environment for a little while, we can make up for it in increased production volumes and cost controls. At this time, I'd like to go ahead and turn the call over to the operator for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Should you have a question, please press the star followed by the one on your touch-tone phone. You will hear a three-tone prompt acknowledging your request. And if you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. One moment, please, for your first question. Your first question comes from Jim Mulkey, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, David. I've got a question with regards. Can you highlight what's going on in the status of the default with both Vista and PAE on their cash calls? And how much was the amount of each cash call that we were behind?
We are in discussions, confidential discussions, with both parties. And so, therefore, I can't further discuss those matters right now, but certainly we are focused on resolving those matters to the best of the company's possible outcome and to result in the best outcome for shareholders as well.
What would happen if there's no resolution? I know it looked like Vista might be trying to pull away from the partnership.
Well, in the case of Vista, we're dealing with a block that has extremely low production at this point. There are no required drilling activities, and to date, there is no production schedule for the block. The block contains some Vaca Muerta shale in the southern part of the block that results from the extension of the Vaca Muerta shale formation that is in Corona Amargo Sureste. And then there is also some natural gas resources in the block as well. Like I said, there is no current production of meaningful amount, and there is no future anticipation of that. If we were, certainly under legal terms, if we were to go ahead and, default entirely on our obligations, again, which at this point I would say are relatively small, if we were to go ahead and default on those obligations, then we would forfeit at some point after, a fair amount of administrative procedure inside of VISTA and inside of the province, we would forfeit our interest in that block. Right now, the commitments that we've missed, or the cash calls that we missed, obviously relate only to operating expenditures. There is no CapEx related to that block.
Okay. And then why would we be in default with PAE? I thought we had a line of credit with them for $40
million. No, the $40 million line relates to CapEx obligations. OpEx obligations are separate and apart from that amount. And on an annual basis, those numbers add up pretty substantially. And obviously, at the same time, I think everybody recognizes the massive value that exists in Corona Amargo Sureste simply because it's been heavily de-risked. It has existing production. And certainly, I would say it's probably the most valuable asset, at least on an immediate basis, for the company. And so there, obviously, if you were to ask, based on what I've said, where the priority lies, it's certainly on Pan American and CASE before it is on Vista and CAN. That said, the company, and again, I can't elaborate at this point, but the company is focused on both. The price tag on Corona Amargo Norte with Vista is not a particularly large price tag because, again, it only relates to OPEX, and this is something, unfortunately, I inherited. There was a default prior to my appointment as CEO of the company, but nevertheless, something that we want to go ahead and remedy. And at the same time, the CASE amount is much larger. There is, a plan for development of the block, and it's certainly something that we want to go ahead and be able to continue to be the beneficiaries of that value.
It sounds like both of them have to do with OPEX. Isn't that the reason that you stepped in and took over the line of credit from KD Energy? Is that in place right now, the convertible debt for $20-plus million that can be drawn down to pay the OPEX expenses?
There are two lines. There's a working capital line, and then there is a CapEx line. Those are two separate lines. Those lines have not been formalized at this point, and there are reasons that relate to the company, I will say, that those lines have not yet been formalized, A, and B, drawn on.
Okay. And then obviously it's been going on for years, but is there any chance at all that we're going to see an Argentina listing?
Certainly. So let me say something more generally about the company's activity. Right now, with respect to the company's, I would say, corporate activity, with respect to the current market environment, I'd say worldwide, and specifically in Argentina, certainly as it relates to oil and gas worldwide. It's not the best time to go ahead and list the company, albeit a secondary listing. frankly, anywhere in the world. That said, we are still, you know, seriously focused on that. Our expectations is that will come. You know, since the last call, the company has been engaged in some, I would say, serious conversations with respect to M&A, asset purchases and sales, and business combinations. If those come to pass, and, you know, some of the decision-making behind the listing is on pause due to those discussions because the listing would need to be, frankly, updated in terms of listing materials. More importantly, you know, we would like to go ahead and make that secondary listing from a position of substantial strength. And so, you know, based on those discussions, based on where things are, the leadership of the company has decided, at least for now, to go ahead and, I'd say, put the listing on the back burner. And I, when I say that, I don't mean for any extended period of time. I'm sure, as you know, or maybe you don't, I'm sorry, I should say for the benefit of everybody on the call, you know, this has been, the listing has been a priority for me before being appointed to the management of the company and since then as well. Obviously, it should benefit all shareholders. And certainly, I firmly believe, I'll say something, you know, beyond that, I firmly believe that the local market is very important. I think it's important for purposes of, you know, the direct effect of local investors being able to invest in the stock easily. I think it's very important for purposes of capital markets broadly in Argentina, being able to access not only equity markets, but fixed income markets as well. And then I think as well, it's very important for purposes of just general overall exposure in the country, whether it be with strategic, you know, folks in the industry or banking, you know, professionals and so forth. So there's no doubt there are positive aspects to the local listing, and it's certainly something that we continue to keep in mind.
Very good. Thank you for your time, and everybody stay safe. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Daniel Jackson, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, David. Thank you for taking the call. I have two questions for you. The first one is the push for green energy seems to be picking up steam, especially in the Northern Hemisphere. Obviously, as an oil driller, Centaurus is not going to be a huge beneficiary of this movement, but does the company have any long-term plan to kind of step out from behind the eight ball, so to speak, as this movement picks up steam?
Thank you for the question. I appreciate it. I'll answer it in two ways. First of all, the company is not considered a massive player in the oil and gas industry. Certainly, the effects of that green push, to the extent that, by the way, it is, I'd say, real, and I don't know if it's real more than it appears in the press. I think the jury is still out on that. Certainly, you know, the targets for companies, you know, going carbon neutral are quite far out, you know, over the next decades. You know, the largest producers in the world, to the extent that it does come to pass that those green initiatives happen, those large producers, the global players are going to get hurt the most. So I think, you know, I think there will generally be carbon-based consumption in Argentina. And right now, you know, the country doesn't even produce enough to satisfy, you know, its domestic consumption. It is still a net importer of oil on a year-round basis. So I don't think that it's going to affect the company quickly, and I don't even know if it's going to affect the company substantially. The second piece, though, however, is, you know, we have been in discussions with folks around the world that are interested in investing in Argentina in natural gas. And we do have a couple of natural gas exploratory blocks that we've been discussing with potential partners. And those partners have been mandated from up high in their organizations not to invest in carbon-related energy sources, and they consider natural gas to fall within the parameters of green, so to say. So even if the oil production of the company gets hurt over a period of time, and I'm not saying that it will, there's certainly the opportunity for natural gas. The natural gas is abundant in the country, in the Vaca Muerta shale formation. And the, you know, the recognition of that, you know, has already come from the likes of Brazil, who is, you know, inviting and potentially interested in a pipeline going from Argentina to Brazil in order to supply Brazil with natural gas. So two-part answer. I hope that's helpful.
Yeah, that's really great. That's a little reassuring, sure. The second question I had is a little bit more general, and I know it may sound like specs, so just do your best. 2020 has clearly been a tough year for all of us. Spirits are pretty low. So I was wondering if there was anything that we investors can hope for or look forward to in the next 12 months that you think might lift our spirits some.
Well, I do think the price of oil, you know, should rise in country. And I don't think that that's, you know, being overly bullish. You know, right now, the demand continues to be quite low because of, I'd say, stricter than we know in the United States or in Canada, quarantine provisions that exist in the province of Buenos Aires. So the population of Argentina is 50% in the province of Buenos Aires, and the rest of the country is the other 50%. The 50% outside of Buenos Aires have been on differing levels of quarantine and opening. And I'm sure, as you can imagine, you know, Argentina is a massive landmass, and, you know, in those, I'd say, you know, more rural provinces, there's a lot of space between people, between homes, and so forth. So the province of Buenos Aires, you know, is pretty dense in terms of population. Our folks in the front office have not gone to the office except for, you know, I'd say very high priority, particular, you know, documentation that was needed. But otherwise, you know, our folks have been working remotely for the last, call it 6 months now. And so, you know, the oil consumption by 50% of the population, even until now, has been drastically reduced. So once that demand starts to pick up, which should be a natural growth over the next, you know, couple of months, I don't think there's going to be, although it's been long quarantine, I don't think it's going to last much, much longer. And so therefore, consumption should go up, which should go ahead and allow prices in the country to rise. In addition, you know, the major oil companies in the country, you know, that are integrated producers, they have been pushing for rise of price of gasoline at the pump. So it's kind of a domino effect. If they can get those prices rising, and there is a price rise that just happened, and there's another one expected before year end, so the price of oil should go ahead and begin to rise, both from raising of prices and from demand rising as well. So that's point one. The other thing is I really would emphasize that the leadership of the company is very focused on transactional activity at this point. We've had a numerous number of inbound inquiries relating to particular assets and beyond that. And, you know, we are going to do strategically what's best for the company. You know, I would urge all investors to look at the company not in a vacuum. It's important to understand the company on a relative basis as well. The Corona Margo formation, or the Vaca Muerta formation that is located in the Corona Margo blocks, are quite valuable. They are the only ones of their kind held in the hands of, I'd say, a smaller player in the industry. The rest of them are overwhelmingly held by oil and gas majors. We want, you know, that block or that formation to be developed properly. It's well on its way. And so therefore, we want to go ahead and assure for the benefit of shareholders that it continues to be developed and the value, you know, is transferred into our shares. So I think that that's another thing that you can, you know, continue to kind of focus on, because we are certainly over the next 12 months.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for taking my questions. And I hope 2021 does a bit better. Thanks, David.
Likewise. Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions, please press star one. Your next question comes from Kevin Bugner, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. David, thank you so much for the updates. I had a few questions kind of going with what Jim and Dan were kind of saying, but a little bit different here. In North America, like in the Bakken Formation, the Permian Formation, Eagle Ford Shale, many of the smaller companies have engaged in acreage swaps to consolidate their positions to make development even easier. Have we looked into, because our in Corianamar del Norte with Vista, have we looked at doing any acreage swaps, such as trading our interest in the northern part of the block for their interest in the southern part of the block, that bumps up to Corianamar del Sureste to see if that would make that to where our development of that block with PAE would be easier and perhaps even more attractive to them? Has the company engaged in any discussions about those acreage swaps?
So just so I understand the question, so in Corianamar del Norte, we have a working interest division between ourselves and Vista Oil and Gas. We have a 35% working interest, and they have a 55% working interest, with the remaining 10% held by the provincial oil and gas company, GYP. And that relates, that division of interests relates to the entire Corianamar del Norte block. Corianamar del Sureste essentially swap out, in the case of that block, Vista does not own any interests in that block, and instead Pan American is the holder of the 55% working interest in that block. So is your question, can we subdivide the Corianamar del Norte block between ourselves and Vista so that we are left with just the shale piece, so to say, at the southern part of the block that is
I may not be explaining myself clearly. So, yeah, sure. And I appreciate you working with me, because I may not be explaining it clearly, but giving up our rights in the northern part of the block to secure full rights in the southern part of the block for
The problem is that it's two separate counterparties, right? In other words, our partner in the north is not the same as our partner in the south. So,
oh, yes. With Vista, what I'm saying is on the Corianamar del Norte, we have 35% of the interest in the northern part of Norte and in the southern part. I mean, it's even throughout the entire block. What I'm saying is a lot of times in these other shale formations with other companies that I've seen, they will take their interests when they have minority interests in some blocks. They will trade part of that interest in one part to gain full interest in another part. And that, to me, would be, are we engaging in those discussions, which would allow us to then seek with the authorities to enlarge Sureste from the amount of our interest that we would then secure, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. The answer to that question is, for now, no.
Okay.
But it is it certainly is a justified idea and concept. Clearly, you know, in terms of the history of the company, we could point to how we got to the Corianamar del Sureste block. Generally,
yeah.
I mean, we went way back and redrew the lines entirely with Shell involved and them, receiving the Corianamar del Sureste block as part of you know, the division that we did, I'd say, for that major transaction back then. So certainly there is precedent for doing something like that. And certainly, okay, you know, we continue to think creatively on how to secure the best value for the company.
Okay. And then my next question would be in terms of Kurama Lee, on here you mentioned and alluded to the fact that the country continues to run a deficit with natural gas, and it is suspected that Kurama Lee will be heavily gas prone. Have you had or entertained any ideas of conversations with the government of a public-private partnership on that block to develop that for the country's resources at all?
So don't I wish the country had enough money to become an active partner in the block, whether the country, you know, federally or whether the province specifically? You know, I'm not saying something that, you know, is not otherwise recognized in the markets. After the country restructured its debt, pretty much every province in the country either has gone through, is in the midst of, or will try to restructure their provincial debt. So at this point, you know, I think the expectation of getting the government, whether broad or local, to invest in a project like that is low. Plus, you know, to be totally, you know, forthcoming, you know, it is an exploratory block at this point. There are other blocks that are in production that can, you know, use additional investment, and they've been essentially de-risked. That said, you know, in terms of your comment about it being gas rich, the Kuramwele block is incredibly rich. It has multiple formations that are recognized, certainly three benches that people are aware of, and certainly can be very prolific, you know, once it is A, explored, and then B, you know, goes into a pilot phase. And we have engaged in discussions on that block. We're currently engaged in discussions on that block in order to go ahead and explore it appropriately. And when I referred to earlier about counterparties that are particularly interested in natural gas from a non-carbon emissions perspective, that was the block I was referring to in those comments.
Okay. All right. Excellent. And thank you so much. I know it's been a very, very tough quarter. I expected it to be ugly with the prices of oil going down. I appreciate the efforts you and the board are making to continue to stabilize the company and pursue other endeavors. We appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sure.
Thank you. The next question comes from Victor Voldish, a shareholder. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and David and Stephen. I got into the call late, and I do have a question about the Corona Margay Norte in regards to the management discussion that I saw, I believe, in the first quarter call. And that was that there was a time clock going whereupon if you're not resolving the financial issues you have there, you can, I believe, request Vista to pull out. I may have not characterized that accurately, but it looked like that there was a way to disengage with Vista. Have we done anything about that? Am I characterizing that correctly? And if we haven't done anything with that, why? Because they're not drilling there.
They have no obligation. Vic, thank you for the question. I appreciate it. And just to, you know, be clear and set the record straight, there are no immediate drilling commitments on that block. They don't have any, as the operator, they don't have any obligations to drill. There's very limited production that comes from that block. The only costs relating to that block now and for the foreseeable future are operating expenditures that go to maintain that block. As a matter of fact, you know, under current prices, at least in the last couple of, you know, months and quarters, that block has been cash flow negative. If we don't, you know, make our cash calls on that block, which, as disclosed, we did not as early as late last year. We missed the cash call. Then there is a process for them to go ahead and legally, I would say, get us to relinquish our working interest in that block. We have been in discussions with them regarding that activity. And I, at this point, I can't disclose any more on where things are because finality has not been reached. And leadership of both companies are engaged, and we'll see where things go. But I do want to make it abundantly clear that you cannot even at this point, based on what we know now, based on where development is and so forth, you cannot even compare Corona Amargo Norte to Corona Amargo Sur Este. It's possible that Corona Amargo Norte could become somewhat prolific with oil production coming from the Vaca Muerta formation that is in that block, but no testing has been done on that, and it doesn't occupy the entire block. So, it is certainly further out on the timeline than everything that's going on in Corona Amargo Sur Este.
Okay, thanks for that. When I took a look at the release that you had in regards to this meeting, I didn't see anything as to whether there would be a replay on this call because I was unfortunately in a meeting and I couldn't get on until a few minutes ago. Is there going to be a replay available on this?
Yeah, and we'll post it on the website once it's available.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Well, thanks again, sure. Guys. I know it's tough. I know there's radio silence there for a reason. You guys are the largest shareholders. You've got a vested interest in making sure that doing everything possible to increase shareholder value. So I suppose we just have to stand by and be patient.
You got it, Vic. We're working as hard as we can, and frankly, there is a lot of positive activity going on. I think certainly past the worst of things.
I'll try to reach out to you if I see something in your presentation in one of the earlier questions, but otherwise I don't have anything to ask.
Thank you so much, Rick.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up from Daniel Jackson. Please go ahead.
Hi, David. Yeah, I thought of one other question. When I was reading through the release, I saw something that seemed a little confusing, so I must have just misunderstood it. There was some talk about negotiations between Centaurus and Magellan Capital, and that those negotiations were still ongoing. But as far as I understand it, you and Stephen are the head of Magellan, so I was wondering how there could be negotiations and contention there between those two entities.
Well, there has to be negotiations between those two entities, and obviously we are not involved in the negotiations on behalf of Centaurus. That is something obviously that we abdicate ourselves from because we have to go ahead and manage for the fiduciary obligations that we have to Magellan investors. And so we negotiate with the independent members of the board with respect to any obligations that Magellan has to the company. I will say, and this goes back to a question made earlier about the capitalization of the company and the loans. There are very specific strategic reasons regarding the extensions on those credit lines. And those specific reasons do not relate at all to Magellan. They are specific substantive reasons that relate to the company. And at this point, there's not more that I can say on that, but they are strategic. They are very justified and real reasons that the company at this point should not, be demanding that Magellan go ahead and finalize and fund.
Okay, thanks very much. Yeah, that makes sense.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. You may proceed.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining us on the second quarter earnings call. We look forward to a strong third quarter and being able to report to you at the conclusion of that quarter. Thank you, and we look forward to speaking to you again.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference call for today. We thank you for participating, and we ask that you please disconnect your lines.